What do you do when your dreams don't pay the bills? How does a parent nurture the gifts and dreams of their children when they can't nurture their own gifts and dreams? Join us now for part two of an interview that I did along with Jason Linton, who is a local social media personality, and he hit me with questions like these. These are just two guys on the phone discussing the real-world issues that come on the journey of seeking your God-ordained purpose. And now, part two.
All right, let me throw a question out there, because I'm peeking at your book here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna touch on something here that This one goes out to the church family, the people that the church, kingdom-minded, blessed, highly favored. We hear people say they're anointed a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, talk to us about what does it mean to be anointed, and how does that manifest into us, you know, maximizing our gifts.
Well, one of the things that I set out on a path to try to figure out, especially as I started, you know, walking more in my Christian walk, there were all these terms that you always heard, you know, all these, you know, these church terms that you always heard. And one that, you know, I kept on hearing all the time was anointed. Anointed this, anointed that, everything was anointed. And, you know, we started running with those terms and we started using them all over the place. But I wanted to get to a point where I truly understood what that meant. And then especially when it came to, you know, working with folks with their gifts and their unique abilities, and hearing all the time that, you know, this singer was anointed, and you know that speaker was anointed, and I wanted to know what does that really mean. And truly anointed, what anointed actually means, I like the term where it means being able to do what you cannot do. And what I mean by that is God has given us, you know, these specific skills, unique abilities, and talents. You know, we've got these gifts ourselves within us, but then what he does, that's like the natural. The supernatural is the anointing. And when his super comes in contact with our natural, then that allows us to accomplish an assignment that only could be accomplished through him and his empowerment. And to give you an example, I mean, for example, the arts really communicate, whether it's song, dance, music, writing, planning events and things like that. All of that, when it flows together, it communicates. And often the goal is to speak to the heart, the mind, and the spirit of the people that are coming in contact with that artistic expression. And you can either approach it analytically. And the human mind and the human emotions try to put up a wall sometimes so that some things can't get through. But what God does with his spirit and his power, he takes these gifts that he's planted in us already. And then when we're willing to allow him to have access to it, that's when those messages and those visions and those things are communicated in a way that we could never have done it on our own, in our own ability. And that's where anointing comes. Where it allows us to do the things that we cannot do. And it is super connecting with our natural to do supernatural things. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And it makes so much sense. I wanna throw another question at you pertaining to that, because you talked about, you know, God putting his super on the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have our natural in order.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have our control and discipline over ourselves in the natural.
Oh, yeah.
Because God's not going to put his super on something that's, you know, what's the thing? God's not going to bless a mess or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
A lot of times we want God to do things, but we don't have our natural in order.
Yeah.
We want to do these great things, but if we look down and we paid attention to detail as far as our life, how we handle our finances, how we handle our relationships, how we handle things, our natural is not in order. But once that natural is in order, you know, things can happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I see it all the time, especially, you know, my background being visual arts. I see it quite often. I come from, you know, circles of Christian artists, and especially throughout the internet over the years, we've connected on forums and things where we, you know, exchange ideas and, you know, encourage each other. And here's one of the ongoing trends that I used to always see a lot of and still do see sometimes, coming from just this as an example with visual art. See a lot of guys talking about they're going to launch Christian comic books or something like that. And you have a tendency to see that the quality is not good quality. The craftsmanship is under par. It may be C, you know, C plus, or maybe even C minus work. And these guys are inspired by A-plus quality with Marvel and DC because, you know, all of us, you know, see that level and you know, we get motivated by it. And then what kind of causes people to want to fast forward stuff is when we look at doing, you know, we put Christian on it and we think that God is just going to fast forward the success of something because we say that we're going to do this as a Christian initiative. But here's the thing. What you still have to do as an artist is you still have to take some art classes. You still have to do some training. You still have to master some of the, whether it's just the basic skills or some of the software. You don't forego that and expect to have good quality success. And that's where that's where balance comes in. When we have a natural gift and the talent, it does not stop there. Part of what God wants us to do when we recognize the gift and talents that we have and the unique abilities that we have, then we also, what comes with that is recognizing the training and that's available out there to master and perfect that gift and that talent. That's where he's able to really take it even to a further level that we could never have expected. But it's highly unlikely where he takes somebody that, you know, knows that they've got an ability to do something, knows where they can get training, but they forego the training because they think, well, you know what, I'm just going to pray about it and God's going to make it wonderful. That doesn't work that way. Not work that way.
Gotcha. So you're saying that, you know,
somebody that's saying that knows that they love this thing and knows that they've got, you know, a gift and ability to this thing, but then they expect to get the solo all the time, but they don't practice, they don't take any works, they don't go to any workshops, they don't, and so much training is available now.
Yeah.
To perfect that skill. But God is not just going to ask for that thing.
And what's interesting is as you're speaking on that's a form of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're kind of like, well, I'm good enough the way I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And that right there, that's setting you up for a fall anyway.
Well, I love when I see, and especially this is where, you know, that of course folks that are out there in the world, they are the world. But when it comes to you look at your unique skills and your unique ability, and if you want to, you put yourself up against those guys that are out there in the world that have had the training, no matter. Know where their spiritual background is, you put yourself up against them. They will go out unless you are trained just like they're trained.
Yep.
But they will eat and go out.
Yep, you're exactly right. And you know, and like you said, there's so much training, there's so much information out here that we can access if you know, if you just committed an hour or 30 minutes a day just to fine tune your craft. And I remember you shared something that it kind of stung. I shared it with some other guys, and it kind of stung, you know, it stung them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You said that, I don't want to quote you on it, but I'm going to let you share it. You said something to the nature of whatever you do in your downtime. How did that go?
Whatever you do in your downtime is a direct reflection of where you will be in time.
Oh, man.
And that was from Miles Monroe.
Whatever you do in your downtime
is a direct reflection of where you will be in time. And,
wow.
I mean, I started looking at when I was when I was in my downtime, when all the time after work, I was always sitting in front of the TV and just for hours just using that as my downtime, but still wanting to do this, wanting to launch a book, and wanting to do more with my art, and wanting to do this and that. But my downtime didn't reflect it. And when I started changing things around, and, you know, now one of the things that I encourage, you know, the folks that subscribe to my blog and everything, I tell them, you know, do something creative every day. And that allows them to focus on sharpening their creative skills and their abilities, because where you will, I mean, if you are doing something unique in your downtime, then you're going to be doing those same things even more magnified in time. Or you know, the opposite of that. If you're just sitting around all the time just watching TV, then in time, guess where you're going to be? Sitting there watching
TV.
The two shows of the season.
All right.
You know, one,
got a couple.
On yeah. that, one, just one last thing on that. The paradox in just sitting down on that downtime is usually a lot of times, especially creative people, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we usually end up watching folks that have followed through with their creative talents and ability.
Wow.
If we are always sitting down watching TV and we've got all these ideas for stuff we're supposed to do, we are wasting all this time watching these other folks that had ideas for TV shows and launched it.
Yep. And I'm glad you touched on that, because that did cross my mind earlier. You see people so fascinated with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And all celebrities are people who pursued their dream or pursued their gift or went after something that they believed in.
Exactly.
You have a lot of people sitting at home watching them. I mean, you even see it with guys, as far as athletes, you know, these guys had these dreams. I mean, yes, there's a level of entertainment, but sometimes you go a little bit too far because you start fantasizing and realizing that could have been me or I should have been me and different things like that. And you know, you kind of, you know, it's almost kind of like you're in a form of depression, or you feel like you missed out on something in life. And, you know, you see it with models and different things like that. You kind of start living in a fantasy world when you watch TV.
Yep.
And that could be very destructive, especially for, you know, for if you're the husband or the wife or, you know, the parent in the house. If your kids see that, what kind of image is that sending to them?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, so, yeah, that TV, yes, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, spending a little bit of time enjoying some TV.
Right.
But if you have gifts and dreams and things that you want, there has to be a balance. And there should be more time invested into, you know, your future rather than sitting back relaxing and just watching TV doing nothing. So I definitely understand that. I remember when I was in the class, one guy said that he just sacrificed watching TV, period, or watching sports, period, because he wanted to pursue his dream. And and that's, you know, you do have to sacrifice that stuff. Like you said, your time is very valuable.
Yes.
So, all right. Let me throw this question at you now. Sometimes, we as people, as men and women, we get to a certain age where we feel like we're maybe a little bit too old, or sometimes, you know, people will tell you you're too young. Does age really matter when it comes to, tapping into your gifts?
I am of the belief that age does not matter. And, you know, especially with what we've learned about different seasons and, you know, different seasons of time, and especially what we've learned where retirement is not a biblical principle. We don't ever see in the scriptures retirement. And there's seasons for our entire life. And you know what? And all of these things just give me so much encouragement for life, because I've come to the point now where I believe as long as a person is breathing, then there's still purpose in motion. And even to the point where they get to, you know, so-called retirement age, okay, you know what? That's just another chapter and another season. And so it goes back to those questions. Who am I? What should I be doing? Especially in that season, what should I be doing now? What should I be doing now? I've finished doing this. I've come down this road. I've closed that chapter. Now I'm 65, 75, 85, whatever it is. And I obviously know that the other stuff that I used to do when I was in my 30s and 40s, I'm not supposed to do. But now that I'm in my 80s or even my 90s, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? What should I be doing at this point? And he has a plan.
Exactly.
He has a plan.
Yep. And you touched on something earlier on this call. You said that sometimes we could turn around and just start teaching.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, go ahead.
I was going to tell you that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. One of the things I was going to tell you is that I first got the realization of seasons changing, especially when it came to your unique abilities. Right before my family and I came back from Florida back to South Carolina. And and what was going on, my wife and I, we were living in Florida for about 3 years, and we decided that, you know, okay, we need to settle down in one area because our girls were starting to get older, and we just wanted to plant roots in one particular area. We had, we started our family in South Carolina, moved to Georgia for a couple of years, moved down to Florida, so we said, let's settle so we won't be on the road all the time. And so with that said, I started talking to a recruiter. They called him a headhunter. I talked to a recruiter. And one of the things that he was doing as part of his role was to look at my unique skill sets and ability. And after interviewing me and spending time with me, he said, okay, Tony, based on your experiences over the years and where you are age-wise, you are actually to a point where you want to focus more. You should be focusing more on roles that cause you to either teach or manage, or in so many words, he was saying, now you don't have to be in the trenches as much. You can take the experience and the things you learn in the trenches and start pouring into others. And that was where I was first introduced to seasons, especially within your gifts and talents in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, interesting, this is just, you know, there's somebody that, you know, I don't know where he was spiritually, but it's a spiritual principle.
Yep. And I think it was Miles Monroe when he before he passed away, he talked about how there's sometimes we struggle to pass the torch or pass the baton to the next generation.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we can kind of get so caught up in trying to achieve something that we miss out on the opportunity to pass the baton to someone else or someone younger, when that may be the season that we're in.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's but that all goes back to having that intimate relationship with God, so you can understand that, you know, it will glorify him if you teach somebody else and they're able to get ahead and run with it and do more with it than you can do at that age or that season in your life.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, we're winding down here because we want to not take too long on this, but I want to throw a question at you because there's some people who have done it and some people who haven't, but what does it feel like when you're flowing in your gift? I mean, what does it, I mean, how does it feel? How does life feel? I mean, talk to us about that.
You know what? I mean, it's an excellent feeling because, I mean, you truly feel fulfilled. And what I mean by that, the thoughts of, you know, how much money am I going to make doing this are gone. The thoughts of, okay, well, you know, I'm tired of doing this. I'm only going to do so much of it are gone. You are actually flowing in your calling where, and I've heard our pastor talk about when somebody is braced to do something, they do it so gracefully, it looks like they're doing it without effort.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're doing these things where it's so second nature that it's not work to them. In fact, they flow with it so fluidly that they would not only just do it this time, but they're ready to do it again. They don't get as tired, if tired at all. And that's when, I mean, that's when you are fulfilled and you know that you are flowing in your calling and you are at the right place at the right time doing what you were born to do anyway.
Yeah, and just to touch on that, I've had a few experiences, kind of like when we did the last event together, the Love, God, Love, People event.
Mm-hmm.
That felt so fulfilling because it's a sense of serving.
Yes.
And, you know, while everybody's – and you're just sitting there, you're just looking like, wow. And like I said, it's something that
you know you didn't do that. God did it, but he just
Right.
allowed you to kind of be the face of it.
Right,
But
right.
that feeling is so amazing. And like you said, you know, you want to do it again, and you're like, how can I do this for the rest of my
Right,
life? And
right,
you know, you
yes.
feel it's an amazing feeling, and it's hard to explain, but it's something that, you know, I think you would love for somebody, a family member or friend, just to experience it, because it could change your life. It changed your
Yeah.
perspective on life, and it just really just puts everything. He's like, you know, I'm not gonna get stressed out because I got this plan. And I know
Right.
that feeling I get when I mean, it just makes everything life a whole lot easier.
And you know, it fuels you to do that crazy thing again, because everybody else on the outside is looking at you like you spending all that time, all that work, all that money, all that all that stuff that you're doing, and you're kind of like, what? Really?
Yep.
Work? Effort? Oh, yeah. I guess it is a lot of work. You don't feel that. And yeah, you're doing that, but that's when you're flowing, and that again is where your natural has connected with God's supernatural, and you're
Yep.
flowing and doing things that you don't have the ability to do.
Yep. And the beautiful thing about when you're in that moment is God will send people there to let you
Yes.
know that you're right on point. You know what I'm speaking about. Like, you know, you have people just come up to you and start saying things, and you're like, wow, you know, and just let those are just confirmations that you're in the right place at the right time for the right reason. And
That is
it's an
awesome.
amazing feeling. So let's get back to the book here. Let's get back to the book. This God's Seven Keys for a Creative Person. And you and I both agree that everyone has something, some kind of gift, whether it's serving, whether it's making music, whether it's writing songs, whether it's just going somewhere and just loving and being compassionate for people. Everybody has some kind of gift that can help other people, correct?
Yes, that is so true. I mean, that is so true. I mean, I tell a lot of folks that I coach, when you have those ideas that you have not been able to shake, and you've had those ideas for years, those are things that tie into your unique abilities, your passions, and you're supposed to do something with those ideas. That's why you can't get rid of them.
And it's funny you said that, because I just turned to the page and the words are bold and it says frustration.
Ah, yes. You know,
It's
you are frustrated when you are not able to operate in your calling. You're frustrated when you're not able to operate in your unique ability, skill, and talent. Because you're wired to do these things. You're supposed to do it. And when you are not doing what you were born to do, the way that it comes about is through something called frustration. And I now, this was something that I thought about, but it was confirmed. Some of y'all that are on Facebook may have seen this video clip that shows Denzel Washington talking to a group of I think his young team, while he's on the stage and talking about the theater and talking about God and passion and frustration. And when I saw that video clip, that was a confirmation, because it's the truth.
And to even take it a step further, a lot of times we have that frustration, and then we start looking for different outlets to cope with that frustration.
Yeah.
And then
And
those come up. Go ahead.
no, I was gonna say, I mean, all those things still drive us to those three questions. You know, who
Yep.
am I? Why am I here? And then especially that last one, what should I be
What are
doing?
we
I'm
doing?
doing something. Well, maybe it's this. No. Well, maybe it's that. No, but you're never gonna sit still. But you're always driven to find out, what should I be doing, because I should be doing something. And I think the more evident your unique ability is, the harder you're driven to try to find the answer to what should I be doing. But you know you're supposed to be doing something.
And it will frustrate you. You'll have and it'll keep, you know, it'll stay in your mind, and you'll start seeing people doing it, and you start thinking, if I could
Yes.
do that, and then you know, different. God will continue to remind you of what's inside of you to stir you up.
Yes.
And yes, it could get frustrating, but if you just take time to just slow down and spend that time with God, it'll start to make sense.
Exactly.
So, Mr. Tony Snipes, once again, where can we order your book at?
You can either go to artlessonsfromgod.com. In fact, on our event page on Facebook here, we have a link to that. But if you go to artlessonsfromgod.com, then you'll see the link for the book. In fact, it'll just say book. Go there and have more detail, or just go to Amazon and do a search for Tony Snipes, and the results will pull up the book.
Awesome, awesome. And now I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to just share whatever's on your heart to someone out there who may have an idea what their gift is, or they're still struggling on finding it, or just kind of just bringing it home. What would you share with somebody who's trying to figure out their gift and trying to bring it into to manifestation?
I'd say to somebody, I think one of the reasons why God has placed these gifts in us and why they drive us the way that we do, the way that they do, is because we know that we're supposed to take some type of action. We know that we've got something unique. We know it's not something that everybody in our immediate circle has, so we know it's something special to us. And then we know we're supposed to do something with it. So again, those three questions keep coming to mind and we can't shake them. And the answer is, we're supposed to look to the person who gave us those gifts in the first place, because the reason why we're agitated about it is because he's getting our attention. And he says, you know, you just stick with me and I will show you, first of all, who you are, because I'll show you who I am. And then he says, stick with me. I'll show you why you are wired the way that you are, because you are the answer to somebody's prayers. But let me show you. I'm going to send you key assignments. And then continuously he'll say, stick with me, because these assignments that you are going to have that involve your gift, you're not going to be able to accomplish them apart from me. And so all of it ties into just sticking with him. What I mean by sticking with him is, first of all, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to be connected with him spirit to spirit. And then from that point, that ongoing relationship, day by day, you nurture that relationship, and then all these things will start falling into place.
I agree 100%. And I want to throw something out there to encourage people to not let anyone talk you out of your gifts or your dreams.
Oh, no.
Do not let family, do not let friends, do not let anyone talk you out of your gift and tell you cannot make it, you cannot do it. Because if God put it in you, then God is the only one that can speak on it. Nobody else can speak on it. And a lot of times we let family members who didn't pursue their dreams speak us out of our dreams or
Oh,
scare us
man, yeah.
out of it, and that is it's it hurts. It hurts because those are the people that are closest to us, but we have to find a level of faith in God that we use that as fuel
Yes.
to get ahead and pursue it and to do it. And not to shame them and not to throw it in their face, but because
Right.
you know it's in you and you know you were born to do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we live in an era now where we've never, mankind has never had access to the world like we have now, and access to the entire world for free like we have now. And so we have so many tools and so many resources and so many opportunities that we can do pretty much anything that God has called us to do, especially because of the era that we live in now. And the enemy knows that, and the enemy is going to try to use any tactic to try to turn you away from that, because he knows that you're going to do good things that's going to glorify the kingdom of God. You're going to do great things. I mean to say great things, glorify the kingdom of God, and will impact lives.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, once again, Tony, I knew this call was going to be great. I'm just glad that we had the opportunity to just share, something that, I guess publicly, what we tend to do, you know, on our, when we do have our one-on-ones and we do talk. So I'm grateful to have you in my life. I'm thankful that you took time to share your wisdom with all the people who called in to listen. And if you don't mind, I just ask you to just close us out in prayer, and we will complete a great call.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us to come together, Lord God, under your covering, Lord God, under your leadership. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for my brother Jason. I thank you for how you put your spirit in him to do these things, Lord God, to use these tools, to use these opportunities, Lord God, to use media, Lord God, driven him to bring people together and to use all these tools, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that he is not taking it for granted, but he is taking action, Lord God, and it is making a difference, Lord. Lord, right now, I speak blessings unto his household, Lord God. I speak blessings unto his endeavors, Lord God. Every dream, Lord God, everything that he's doing, Lord, it is for a purpose, Lord God. He is not doing it for nothing, Lord, and I thank you for blessing him right now. And, Father, with that said, I thank you, Lord God, for everyone that has come in contact with this conversation on not only just on tonight, but even after it's recorded, Lord God, everybody that is able to experience this, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that they are experiencing you. We just give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, Lord God. We just want this to be something that is a reflection of you. And, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to play small parts in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tony, once again, thank you. I look forward to us having part two in the near future. It's an honor to have you, and hopefully somebody receives something that will stir up a gift in them, and they'll be seeking you, and they order your book, and lives will be blessed, and those gifts will be stirred up, man.
Thank you, man. So, thank you again for the opportunity.
All right, man. Well, you have a blessed night. I'm going to say goodnight to all those who called in to listen, and y'all have a blessed night.
Take care, man.
All right.
Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's broadcast. I want to make sure that you get a chance to take a look at the book that we mentioned, God's Seven Keys for Creative People. You can just go to my website, artlessonsfromgod.com, and you'll see the link for the book, or just go ahead and do a search on Amazon for Tony Snipes. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you next time.